say to hear a word from the Lord, then we continue to encourage our hearts with the words that we just heard from one another. Romans 1:21. And that reads as follows. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and in their foolish hearts, were darkened. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were dark. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day of thankfulness and thanksgiving to you and to those that you have placed in our lives as instruments of your blessing, of your love and your grace toward us. Thank you for the family of God, the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for the wisdom that you have given to your people in the midst of their tests and trials, that they have an eternal perspective on the temporary situation. Thank you that you are transforming them as they renew their minds and your word, and being conformed to your image and likeness. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity to worship you through testimony, through praise, through prayer, through giving, through singing, and through thanksgiving. Bless your word as it goes forth and minister to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak from this subject, the power of thanksgiving. The power of thanksgiving. Romans 1:21 is perhaps the most intriguing and convicting statement of thanksgiving in all the scriptures. Although they knew God, what an indictment. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Romans 1, Paul is explaining why God's wrath and judgment is on the human race. By the end of the chapter, he catalogs for us all manner of sinful actions, some mainstream and some extreme. But in verse 21, he reveals what led to all these forms of depravity. Ungodliness. It was a failure to honor God as Creator and to thank Him for His good gifts. Incapacitates us spiritually and morally. Thus, we could call thanklessness a root sin. Presumably, the opposite is also true. Thanksgiving is a root virtue, one from which other virtues, attitudes, and actions flow. This attitude of gratitude flows from a heart of thanksgiving. Why is this the case? What is it about thanksgiving, not the day of thanksgiving, but the attitude of thanksgiving? Why is thanksgiving? What about thanksgiving that makes such a powerful force for good in our lives? I want to make three observations about cultivating an attitude of gratitude. Number one, the power of thanksgiving reorients us to the center of all things. It's a reorientation of us to the center of all things. The non-Christian gives thanks on a horizontal level only. They are the center of their thanksgiving.
Trinitarian view of God. This is the God that the Old and New Testament talks about. It's revealed more in the New, but is there concealed in the Old. It makes him great in this sense of declaring his greatness. He's great without our declarations. But our declarations expands and uplifts his greatness. And he demands that we exalt and lift his greatness out. It exalts him as this, the source of every good thing we enjoy. We enjoy eating. I do. We enjoy reading a book. We enjoy sunsets. We enjoy the beach. We enjoy the sunny things. We enjoy. We enjoy our family and friends sometimes. But we enjoy them, right? Until we don't enjoy them. But all those things, romance, sing after God, love between a man and a woman in marriage for life, a birthday cake, a celebration, those are things that God bless our human relationships with. Memory of that blessing memory. Until you're struggling with memory. But that is a blessing from God. So he is the source of every good thing we enjoy. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love, that has said love. In your faithfulness. We're thankful that God has the kind of love that remains steadfast. What does Thanksgiving do for us in this process? It centers our attention on his character and works. As the great realities in the universe, it reorients us to the world as it truly is. It delivers us from any delusion that we are self-made people, or that we get to determine how life works. We don't. We try to make it work, but we don't know how it really works. Until we orient our hearts and minds to the one who has given us the very life that we possess. We don't know how to love until we orient our hearts and minds to the God of love who teaches us how to truly love. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people in the sheep of his pasture. This statement, beloved, should humble us as much as it comforts us. Thanksgiving postures us as creatures, not creators, as fallen, broken, dependent people. It postures us as a child in need of its mother's care and love. By thanking the Lord, we are acknowledging that we are beholden to him for everything. Every breath that we breathe is dependent upon his grace, his mercy, and his love. We are being reminded of our dependence on him. That is so important. We are dependent on him to be independent. We are dependent on him to be proactive. We are dependent on him to be productive. We are dependent on him to be and become all that God in Christ has made us. Further, we are being reminded that we belong to God. We do not belong just to ourselves, and we do not just belong to one another. We belong to the one who made us in his image, who created us in the likeness of his son Jesus Christ through the new birth. This moves us, and it should move us, to renew our submission to him. That's the most difficult thing to do, is to submit your will, your life. 365. And so we are called, beloved, to submit to God's sovereign rule over our hearts, our minds, our wills, our emotions. Thanksgiving is a way of pushing out fleshly impulses and igniting spiritual desires to honor our Father through our choices as well as through our words. It's so easy to honor God with my lips when I struggle with my heart. Thanksgiving pushes out the fleshly impulses that the spiritual desires may express themselves through, not only what I say, but how I live my life. Because our life, if it's thankful, if it's gracious, will reflect the life of Christ. That brings us to the next observation about the power of Thanksgiving, number two. Power Thanksgiving advances our sanctification. Sometimes we never think about biblical truth in this light. We say, oh, wait, we're thankful. That's fine. We're thankful. It's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day. We're going to be thankful. It's much more than that. Thanksgiving advances your sanctification. When you are saved, you are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were regenerated in your deadness spiritually in your heart to a new man and woman in Christ. The Holy Spirit came to live as a permanent resident advisor within you so that you can, with him, live out who you are in Christ. That living process, which takes place after you're saved and not after you die, is now. It's this interim right now between new birth and death. Sanctification is how we live to please God. But we cannot please God without God's power enabling us to please him. So we are workers together with God. God is at work in us, and we are working with God to be all that God has already made us to be. The only thing new that we're going to receive in heaven is a body. We already knew. You're already new spiritual. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. All things have passed away, behold, all things will become new. So justification is what God has done by faith in his Son. Regeneration is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the sinner who repents. But sanctification is the participation of the Christian in the Holy Spirit, of the new man and woman in the Holy Spirit, of the son and child of God in the Holy Spirit, or the daughter of God in the Holy Spirit, so that we can begin to live out our salvation with a thankful heart, not only in singing hymns on the spiritual songs, but living in such a way that people see that distinct presence of God through us. It advances our sanctification. Our sanctification advances us becoming more like Jesus. So several New Testament passages urge us to nurture thanksgiving, not just because it's the duty, it's our duty as Christians, but because it promotes our growth in godliness. Look at Colossians 2, 6 and 7, very familiar passage, a favorite for some of you. Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, that's justification, right? So walk in him, that's sanctification. It's right there, first two verses. Justification is the work of God alone. Sanctification is the work of God and the saint to become more like Christ. It says being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what? Thanksgiving, gratitude. You see how thanksgiving is so trickling tied to our sanctification. thanksgiving is the first priority Paul gives when he describes what it means to walk in Christ. Paul fleshes out this connection. And at the heart of a passage of Christian unity and loving relationships is Colossians 3. Look at Colossians 3 with me. 15 through 17. Listen to this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing or warning one another in all wisdom, singing hymns as we do in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but we do it with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving life. Thanks to God the Father through Christ. You see how thanksgiving is tied into your salvation. Paul also teaches that thanksgiving encourages us in our prayer life. Go to Colossians 4. I was fresh in my mind because we were in Bible study for the last 2-3 months in the book of Colossians. In Colossians 4, verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with, watchful in it, what is it? Prayer. So there should be more thankfulness in your prayer than begging in your prayer. Come on, someone, y'all talk to me. It should be more thankfulness than begging, more thankfulness than complaining. No, more thankfulness instead of thanklessness in our prayer life. Expressing our gratitude to the Lord keeps us aware, alert. As we pray, we are motivated to keep seeking Him for blessings as we rehearse the blessings we've already received. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Sing. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what the Lord has done. That's the song. But you don't recall it and remember it because there's more. There's more begging than thanking and prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This passage reveals that the Lord uses gratitude characterized by prayer to remove anxiety from our hearts and to minister peace to our minds, our will, our hearts, and our emotions. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about what? Anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Oh, that's the answer to prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, garrison our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What did the Almighty say? Careful for nothing. Prayerful for everything. Thankful for anything. I don't know. I don't know, Lord, if we really live that way. It's good to be thankful when things go right, but to be thankful when things don't go right. Isn't that counterintuitive? I mean, if it goes right, I'm thankful. If it goes wrong, I'm not thankful. You should be. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Thessalonians, I believe, is chapter 5, 16 and 17. It says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, that you give thanks in all circumstances. For this is His will for you in Christ. I want to know the will of God. Well, start thanking God when your life is crumbling, when you've been shaken, when you've been disgusted and busted. they're still in the context and situation they're in, but they're doing something that's different. They're giving thanks to the God who provides, to the God who sustains, to the God who rescues, to the God who cares for them. You cannot approach God with an attitude of gratitude. It must be an attitude of gratitude. Ephesians 5:4 says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be, I'm with you, Brandon, thanksgiving. Wow. If we are struggling with our speech, we are struggling with our hearts. That's what comes from your lips, comes from your heart. So what you need to do is name it, pray, decide, say, the Lord created me. The clean heart of God. Renew a right spirit within me. Paul doesn't just order us to stop carnal talking. He said, give thanks. Give thanks. What we must do is replace the negative communication with thankful communication. And this is our final observation on the power of thanksgiving. That the power of thanksgiving, it not only reorients us to the center of all things, it not only advances our sanctification, but the power of thanksgiving encourages God's people. Oh, and then today, I was so encouraged by those words of thanksgiving for what God has done and is doing. If gratitude has an edifying impact, and it does, on the individual believer, then it will naturally have the same impact on other believers as well. We saw one dimension of this in Colossians 3. We see another dimension in 1 Corinthians 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, 15 and 16, here Paul is laying out guidelines for corporate and public worship services, and he emphasizes the importance of intelligibility. That people must understand what's coming out of my mouth, and I must seek to make it simple and clear as I ought to. And so he says to this church, your worship is out of order because you're using all these spiritual gifts and you're creating a cacophony of confusion and not a symphony of praise. He says in verse 15, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when it does not, when he does not or she does not know what you are saying? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Worship, Bible study, teaching, witnessing, you have to make it clear about what's coming out of your mouth. So that what? So that those around can give thanks, acknowledge God and his blessings that are before us. The apostle wants the church to understand the thanksgiving of the person speaking is so that everyone can be here is edified, built up by it. We can also affirm it by saying, amen, so be it. Even though thanksgiving is directed to God, the secondary audience, the believers, the church, you and I, one person's thanksgiving has the effect of encouraging thanksgiving in the hearts of those who
say what God has done in their life is flowing down in the world. So the edifying of the church, that's the power of Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving is a form of edifying speech that serves as a means of grace in the lives of fellow believers. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edification, building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Paul understands this dynamic, and we know sometimes we don't understand the dynamic of Thanksgiving. And it is why he starts out so many of his letters, reading Paul's letters. He starts out with a note of thanksgiving. What he does is to express gratitude for works God has been doing in the lives of God's people, even when God's people don't know he's doing it. Do you believe that God is not at work about all this event? And you can't determine his work by how it looks. You can't determine that his works by how you feel. You can't determine his works by how you think, by how it looks. There's just one more example. 1 Thessalonians will be in here. Chapter 1, verse 2 through 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the encouragement such words would have been to these new believers in the first century under persecution, living out their faith in a world that saw them as a cult and not a legitimate, organized religious institution as we're seeing today? For several more verses, the Apostle Paul continues thanking God for electing them, choosing them before the foundation of the world, as he has chosen us, converting them, changing them from the inside out, as he has converted us, sanctifying them by grace. He's demonstrating their lives. He's demonstrating the lives of the Thessalonian church. Through that, he's shaping their perspective. He's giving them an eternal perspective on how to deal with the chaos in their world. Helping them to notice all that the Lord has been doing in them and through them. And they really didn't know. That's why church is important. So you have a word of God that you may know in context. What God has said, and what God is doing, and what God will do. So that becomes one of the ways through which this letter, 1 Thessalonians and all the other letters in the Bible, strengthens all believers of all times to keep enduring, keep persevering through the difficulties of life. Because we have a God that's working in us and through us to bring about his good. The point is that Thanksgiving is not just a good thing to do. It's also good for us. Isn't it wonderful? It's good for us. Energized by God's Spirit, it moves our hearts away from ourselves and onto the Lord and his people. It becomes a root from which all other virtues flow. So, why is the power of Thanksgiving so effective? Because it reorients us to the center of all things. That's the Lord himself. He's the center of our joy, of our peace, of our hope, of our strength, of our love, of our family, of our relationships, of our opportunities. He's the center of it all. And when you lose the center, you lose your life. Thanksgiving advances our sanctification, setting us apart to be more and more and more like God, not only in our speech,
us pray. Father God, forgive us for being guilty of complaining about our present circumstances when you have called us to give thanks in all of our circumstances, because this is your will for us in Christ. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us by your indwelling spirit to see you working all things together for the good of them that love you, for them who are called according to your purpose, for your glory. Holy Spirit, help us to depend on you more and to teach us to be a thanksgiver who always finds the good and not a complainer, who always finds the bad. Help us to see life from your eternal vantage point, for you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. And we give thanks this morning unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.